Roddy mentioned that afterwards he wants to interview me. I don't know what that will entail, but he said he wants to know a little bit about myself and the family. And I'm going to just give you a little window into the family for a moment and tell you that in the last 3 weeks we actually had a new addition in our family. Not another brother or sister for the girls, but we have a dog, a wee dog. And his name is Shorus. He's been with us for about 3 weeks. He's about 11 weeks old. And now that we've been saying this so often, when he hears the name Shorus, he's starting to respond to his name. He looks like a little Shorus. I can show you that afterwards. And he's now starting to recognise that that's his name. He's starting to respond to his name. Now, how did he get that name? Well, very simply, we gave it to him. He didn't ask for that particular name. We didn't have a meeting to discuss it with him. We gave him his name and he received it. And now he's responding to it. Now, we've been over this weekend in the book of Colossians. And the Colossians were those people who Paul identifies as those who were in Christ. They were Christians. That was their new name. And they were given that name. They received that name when they received Christ Jesus. And if you've got your Bible open in front of you at chapter 2, you'll find that helpful. We'll move just through a short section, I think, in the time that we have tonight. We'll look at verses 6 through to maybe about verses 12 or 13. The Colossians were those who were Christians. That was their name, and they received that name when they received Christ Jesus. And we see that in verse 6. That's the first point this evening. The Colossians were those who received Christ. Paul says to them in verse 6, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus." Roddy was given the intimations just a few minutes ago. He spoke about the shoeboxes. We heard a little about the shoeboxes in Harris a couple of weeks back. We saw pictures. These boxes that were shipped out from different parts of Scotland, and they were taken to particular areas. And we saw the pictures of the children and the middle-aged people and the elderly people. And they were given the shoeboxes. And we could see them, and we could see the expression on their faces as they received these gifts. Now, the Colossians were those who received Christ. And so often in the Bible, we read of how Jesus is offered to us. He's offered to us as a gift. His love, his salvation, his forgiveness, his eternal life, his grace is God's gift that is offered to us. You can think about various verses where that comes through very clearly. John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Another verse, Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." We saw that this morning. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The gift of God. Another verse, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." The Colossians were Christians. How were they Christians? What labeled them? What defined them as Christians? How could they be sure, and how could Paul be sure that they were Christians? Was it because they had a long legacy of religion? Had they sat in the same pew in the same church for years and years and years? Were they those who had worked very hard in religious works for many generations? Well, none of these things are listed. That's not what defines them as Christians. The Colossians were Christians because they had received Christ Jesus. So can I ask you the question, as I ask myself the question, have you received Christ Jesus? Have you received him? Have you received the salvation and the forgiveness of sin and the eternal life that is offered to you and to me in him? Are you a Christian? And if you're not a Christian, and the Holy Spirit is making that clear to you just now, will you receive him today? See, when we open God's word, and when we understand that through God's word he is telling us that we are sinners who are in need, and when then we look to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we recognize that he went there to be the saviour of sinners like us, the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives at that point. He is offering, God is offering to save us. He is seeking us in order to save us. And that salvation comes when we receive Christ Jesus. So have we received Christ Jesus? Can we talk this evening about the day that we bent our head in the pew or went into the quietness of our room and bowed the knee and said, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and you died to save sinners like me. Will you give to me that salvation? Will you forgive me? Will you enable me to receive that eternal life that is offered to me when I receive Jesus? The Colossians were those who had received Christ. It's the first point. The second point here is the Colossians were those who had and were continuing to revere Christ. Not only did they receive him, but they held him up as one who needed to be revered. See, sometimes when we're offered a gift, there are qualifications as to how we receive the gift. Maybe you've had a gift card that's been given to you and it's got Amazon across it. There's a code by which you can redeem it. Or you get an iTunes voucher, or you get a book token for a particular book. And this is a gift. And if it's going to benefit you or I, there are qualifications as to how we use it. We can't go into the local chemist or co-op with an Amazon voucher and say, I want 10 pounds of potatoes. There's qualifications as to how we receive and benefit from the gift. Now, how did the Colossians receive Jesus? Well, they received him as Lord. Still in verse 6, Apostle Paul says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. That's what I've underlined in the Bible, as Lord. They were revering him. And in light of all that Paul has already spoken of in relation to the person and the supremacy of Christ, to receive Jesus as Lord is the only fitting way that the Colossians or anyone can receive him. Who is Jesus, we might ask? And Paul has answered that question in verse 15 and following of chapter 1. Let's just glance at that again. Who is Jesus? We ask the question. And the answer comes as the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write here. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. He is Lord. And the Colossians received him. And they revered him as Lord. You know, it's so important in a day where there perhaps is a growing irreverence towards God, that we revere him. He is the God who does not change. He is holy. Jesus is not our equal. He is not the one that we get to invite to come and give us a boost on our team. He's not our servant whom we flick our fingers and he's there waiting to do the next thing that we want him to do. We don't view him as that. We don't treat him in that way. He is not our consultant advisor whom we employ for a moment and then dismiss when we're finished. He's not our life coach. He is our Lord. And he is God. He is the one who is to be revered. He is the one who is to reign supreme over our lives, just as he reigns supreme over all things. And you and I can only receive Christ if we are willing to give him that place. He will not come in saving power into a life if we do not revere him as Lord. Speaking to someone just the other day, somebody who was very much aware of their need in many different ways. And we were speaking about the Lord, and I asked this person the question, are you a Christian? You want the Lord's help. Are you a Christian? And he said, I think I am. I said, why do you think you are? He says, well, I think I kind of believe. I said, do you believe that you're a sinner? He says, yeah, I believe that I'm a sinner. I said, do you believe that Jesus can save you? Oh, I believe that. He said, have you asked him to save you of your sins? He says, I do that every night. I said, have you brought him into your life by faith? Have you bowed the knee to him? Have you prayed and asked him to come into your life and take over every aspect of your life and be your Lord? Have you handed over your life to him and said, it's no longer me that's in control. Lord, you are now in control. For me to live as Christ. He said, I wouldn't go as far as that. Maybe I'm holding back a bit. Maybe I'm not a Christian. And he wasn't, I don't think. Because he was not willing to give Jesus his place as Lord. He wanted his power, he wanted his salvation, but he did not want Jesus to be his Lord. And if we do not submit to Christ as Lord, if we do not receive him as Lord, we cannot receive him. The Colossians received Jesus as Lord. So let me ask each one of us the question, have we received Jesus as Lord? Our Lord. And can that be seen in your life? And mine? See, when a shop comes under new management, instantly you see a change. You see the change in the window, you see the change in the way they do things when you walk in the door. It's under new management. When a football team comes under new management, you see a change. You see a change in the style of play and the tactics they follow. There's an observable change. And for the Colossians, those who received Jesus as Lord, there would be a change in their life because they were now under new management. They were under the management and the lordship of Christ Jesus. So they needed to learn how to live in him. Began by talking about Shorus the dog. Now we've brought him into the family. But we're now having to teach him how to live this. If he's going to be part of the family and living as part of the family, we're having to teach him when it's okay to sleep and when it's okay not to sleep. We're having to teach him that you don't get up at 5:30 in the morning and yelp until 7:15. We're having to teach him that there are places that it's okay to do the toilet and there's places that it's really not okay to do the toilet. We're having to teach him where and what he can chew and what he must not to chew. This is all part of learning what it means to live as part of the family. And Paul is doing the same here as he continues with the Colossians. He's telling them how those who have been brought into the family of Christ by faith are to live. So they were those who had received Christ Jesus. It's the first point. They were revering Christ Jesus. They revered him. They revered him as Lord. And the third thing we see here is they were those who were being encouraged to be rooted in Christ. Paul continues in verse 6 and says to them, he exhorts them to continue to live in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. We had a fellowship in Harris, I think it was two or three Sundays back. And in the evening, we had Alistair from Smithton. And I asked him the question in interview, just tell us a wee bit about what it's like to live as a Christian. He told us about how he became a Christian. I said, well, tell us now what it's like to continue as a Christian. What's it like to live as a Christian? And when Alistair answered the question, he measured on the fact that being a Christian is being in relationship with God. And he says, like any other relationship, if a relationship is to be strong and healthy, there needs to be communication. So he says, if my relationship with God is to be a strong and steady one, I need to speak to him in prayer. And I need to listen to him as I'm in the Bible. So he says, if you want to know about my life as a Christian just now, I need day by day to be focusing on God by speaking to him and listening to him. And that's the essence of what Paul is talking about when he talks about being rooted and built up in him. We are strengthened in the faith. We are rooted in Christ as we are taught about that faith, as we are taught about this Jesus. And that teaching comes as we take time to open our Bibles and as we pray that the Holy Spirit will open our lives to God's Word in the Bible so that we will see and that we will hear and we'll have our hearts stirred and stirred again so that we will receive more and more of the grace of Jesus until our lives are so amazed by that grace, we are full to overflowing with thankfulness as we grasp the magnitude and the wonder of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And probably the best commentator I can quote on what it means and what it looks like to be rooted and built up in Christ is the children in Sunday school. Because in Sunday school they sing that song. They sang it in Loch Carron, they sing it in Harris. I don't know if they sing it here. But it's that song that they sing. I won't sing the tune for you, but the lyrics go like this. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And the more we read our Bibles, and the more we pray, the more we grow, and the more the grace of Christ bubbles up from within us and starts to flow out of us and makes us sing the hymn that sometimes we sing. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me with his light and wrote his law of righteousness with power upon my heart. The Colossians were those who were to be rooted in Christ, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So if you and I are to continue to live in him, if we are to put down deep roots, if we are to be strong and spiritually mature, if we are to be filled with that attractive, winsome thankfulness, we need to keep on coming to Jesus. and learning of Jesus. And learning from Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, and we so often quote them. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." You know, that's not just a call to the lost to come to Jesus for salvation. That's a call to the Christian who needs day by day by day to be rooted in Christ. So the Colossians were those who received Jesus. They revered Jesus. They were those who were being encouraged to be rooted in Christ. I have two more points, but I have no more time. So I think we'll pause and we'll stop and we'll pray.